This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support is from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. We start with the legendary Louisiana political consultant James Carville, who's now living in the great city of New Orleans, teaches at LSU, and he is here to talk about his alma mater. And there is a hunt for a president and chancellor, and yesterday a search committee narrowed the list to 8 candidates, at least 8 who are candidates right now. Could the list expand? That's something we'll talk with James about. But if you'd like to chime in, 877-217-5757 is your number. And talk@talklouisiana.org is our email. Mark Ballard, who will be with us later in the hour from The Advocate, says a special committee Wednesday picked 8 candidates, including Jay Darden, who runs the day-to-day operations of state government as Commissioner of Administration, and University of Louisiana President Jim Henderson, who heads the state's largest public university system. James Carville, what's your assessment of where our alma mater is right now?
Well, thanks, first of all. Thanks for having me on, Jim. My assessment is that LSU needs a jolt. I think this decision as to who the new president's going to be is probably the most consequential decision that's been made by modern LSU. And I just desperately hope the board gets this right.
Well, it is an important time for LSU, isn't it?
It is an utterly critical time for us. You know, when we started this century, we were considered to be among the most improved, I would say the earlier part of this century. We were widely and I think correctly perceived to be one of the most improved state universities in the country. I'm under no such illusion now.
And why has the reputation gone down, independent of the current scandal that has inspired university?
Right. The current stuff, because frankly, Bobby Jindal tried to wreck the place, and he almost succeeded. I mean, when all of your peers are funding and giving faculty pay raises and everything else, and you're going in reverse, it hurts things, and I just don't see it right now as a place that has a lot of vision, a lot of confidence, you know, in where it's going. And the new president, whoever she or he might be, there's only one female.
That is correct.
List of 8 people. I don't know. We've also got a climate denier on there. So we're kind of equally represented in our final 8 by one female, and I guess it's balanced by having a climate denier. The state that suffers more from the effects of climate change and maybe any place in the world. I just don't understand. Somebody would have to explain it to me, but sitting where I am right now, it makes utterly no sense to me.
Well, it is not an A list of candidates outside of Louisiana. Now, there are some prominent people in the state, but some believe that LSU is guilty of too much inbreeding. Would it be possible for someone not on this list to come forward?
Let's just say the name Mark Emmert. Okay.
Yeah, right.
That's obviously what we're talking about. It might be possible. I mean, there's not some law that came out of Congress that says you're a day finalist. You can't go outside of that. In my opinion, he was actually a chancellor, a little bit different job now if Mark came back, but he was the best head of LSU Baton Rouge of my lifetime. That's just a fact.
Mm-hmm. 1999 to 2004, and he left a big job at the University of Connecticut to pursue this. He was not.
Yeah, and he went to a big job at the University of, he was the president of the University of Washington, which is a top tier public university.
Yeah, well, he is eminently qualified, and if he wanted the job, he might very well get it. I think he would be the overwhelming favorite, but is that pie in the sky, or is that a realistic prospect?
I don't know. I do know that people are speaking to him. You know, I know that he feels very fondly toward LSU, but I am not sufficiently knowledgeable of the current situation to remark one way or another. But it would be an excellent choice, to say the least.
It would take a substantial investment from the university, I'm sure. Is that possible, and is it necessary?
Well, they called. They said they paid King $600,000 a year. Well, if King was worth $600,000 a year, Mark is worth $6 million. I think they could negotiate. I'm being a little hyperbole here. They could negotiate something and probably take some supplemental private money or something like that. But that's all that stuff could be worked out.
So you're saying money would not be the biggest issue, that LSU can come up with the money?
I don't think so, Jim. I don't. I shouldn't say it because I'm not privy to whatever is going on in the negotiations. But
well, that would be an amazing development. But right now, all these names are public. The governor says he wants it that way. At what point would a person like Emmert, who obviously has a job in which if it's known that he is seeking or even considering a job somewhere else might hurt him there at the NCAA, at what point would he come forward?
I don't know. You make a good point. My own view of the job of being president of the NCAA, it's kind of thankless because you got a lot of stakeholders. But the amount of actual power you have is pretty limited. So you get, you know, all of the blame for anything that goes wrong. You get very little credit. But it's a well-paying job, and it's a prestigious job, but I think it's a particularly difficult job.
And it's in Indianapolis, Indiana, not considered one of the garden spots of America, a nice city, but it's not San Francisco or Seattle. Or Baton Rouge. He had great memories. He acknowledges that when he was here. And, of course, right. he is revered by many people. At 68 years old, could this be his proverbial swan song?
I'd give anything to wait him for 3 years. I mean, it's not, you know, that we probably need to just reassess and regroup right now. And I think he'd be the perfect person for that.
Well, you mentioned...
And the big thing is, people that don't understand this, it's not just, we're not in a struggle for funding in Baton Rouge. We're funded, we need grants, all right? We need foundation support. Our entire fundraising effort is right now is not that great. Somebody like that, you have access to funds that you can't imagine. Now, if you put a climate denier in there, which it looks like they're considering, maybe we can just sell the university to Koch Brothers. That might be Plan B.
Is the climate denier this fellow who used to be the director of the White House Office of Science and Technology?
Yes. I guess I would more accurately say a climate dog whistler. Well, you don't know how the earth people see you. Why worry about it?
Well, it is an interesting group of candidates, and it shows
the meteorologist from Oklahoma.
Marianne Rankin, professor, former senior vice president, provost at University of Maryland. She's the only woman, and with LSU now being portrayed as a misogynist haven, a woman would be good, but is Marianne Rankin the person to lead the old war school?
Well, I know that the University of Maryland, College Park, is a wonderful university, right? I obviously don't know Marianne Rankin. I think this is the only executive search list in the country that has eight people and one woman on the list. It appears to me that things are trending in a different direction, and I don't know, but I'm not part of the search. But apparently this is what they thought was the best they could do.
Well, yesterday, John Bel Edwards, our governor, was with us for his monthly Ask the Governor program. Here's what he said about what he thought the quality should be for the next president and chancellor.
A proven leader and someone who's been in the higher education field for a number of years, dealing with things like Title IX issues, dealing with funding issues, and hopefully we can find a very strong leader who's got a lot of experience dealing with state government and dealing with higher education. And I'm optimistic we're going to do that.
All right. We'll get James Carville's take on what the governor said and whether, in addition to the eight so-called finalists, there could be a Mark Emmert in the offing. And people are talking with Mark Emmert. We'll be back in 90 seconds. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have James Carville with us for another segment on Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757. Matt Doyle producing, and we're talking about the LSU search. And before we close out this segment, we'll get James Carville's take on a few different matters. It is an interesting world we are in, but please be brief in your remarks because we'd like to get to a few of you and then finish in a flourish with Mr. Carville. Paul in Opelousas. Paul, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Jim, and good morning, Mr. Carville. First of all, Mr. Carville, why didn't you put your name in? That would be great. Second, I hear the proposal is possibly the head of the NCAA being looked at, but aren't they one of the problems that...
All right. What about the NCAA and some of the issues that Mark Emmert is dealing with, some say of his making, and did you consider seeking this post, which I think you would be a strong candidate if you did, James Carville?
I can tell you what LSU, I'm not sure what LSU needs, but I know exactly what it doesn't need, and that's a president who's going to be 77 in October. And if they got, by the way, if they got a hold of my college transcript, it would, let's just say, would be embarrassing for the university. But I appreciate the gentleman's confidence in me.
Well, Frenchie at Louis today, hearing that you were going to be on our show, he said, ask him.
Love,
yeah, we all love Frenchie. He said, ask him about his 4.0 at LSU. You said that was your blood alcohol content.
Yeah, that was my, I said on graduation day, I had a 4.0. That was my alcohol blood. Yeah. Louis, I remember the old Louis on Chime Street. I love you that old.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, it was there when I was in school.
And that guy would he would cut the potato and fry it and scramble it, and he'd cut a piece of ham off. He had a whole ham with a bone. So he had a ham and egg. Cut the ham off of that.
You're talking about the original Louis?
Yeah, the original Louis.
Yeah, you know, not to digress, but he put up hot checks written by patrons and shamed them. And there was a check up there when I was in school from 1940 from one Hubert Humphrey. And I wish I had stolen that check at 41, I think it was, when Louis opened. Yeah. But
Humphrey hung a little paper.
Barry in Mid-City, you're on with James Carville. Hi, Barry.
Hey, good morning, and good morning, Mr. Carville. How about Jay Darden's holding off and running for governor, please?
Well, go ahead, Jay.
I don't know anybody, and me included, that doesn't really like Jay. And I think he's a strong guy. He's a good guy, and the board selected him to be president, I would certainly salute sharply and fall in line.
Well, the governor yesterday said it should be a strong academician, and Jay Darden is many things, but he's not that. He has not spent his career on college campuses, but is that a necessity?
You know, some of the great university leaders, and Terry Sanford made modern Duke. He was the former governor. All right, Mitch Daniels, the former governor of Indiana, is now the president of Purdue, and by all accounts is doing a terrific job. Senator David Boren was president of the University of Oklahoma for a long time. He did a terrific job there. John Bradamus was a former congressman, probably made modern NYU. There's no reason that you can't have a strong leader of a university can not have a academic background. I mean, yes, you don't want to put somebody from the outside world as your provost, but the big job that this president has, in my opinion, is, of course, they got to turn the page on the Title IX stuff, which I think a dynamic president could do. But we're about recruiting for the top faculty, top students. And in order to do that, you got to bring in a lot of money from around the country. And you can't be parochial. At my last two, you know, I give a lot of credit to the Manship School. My last two teaching assistants, or, you know, PhD assistants, one was from Russia and one was from Greece. And I told my students, I did my last class Tuesday night, that I like that. We need more of that. And in order to get these top international people to come to LSU, you got to project yourself. You got to have an image. You got to be an energetic place. You got to be a place that's able to fund a lot of different projects. And I just hope that the board sees that.
Well, on another matter, we'll get to that, but a listener does ask me, and it is appropriate to ask you about the Title IX fiasco that has enveloped LSU. Is this settling down, or is this going to crop back up and bite LSU on the proverbial backside?
Both. I mean, it. I don't know. I wouldn't say settling down. The athletic department gives too much attention on this, and there were different problems within the general university on it. And I've talked to, in my class, any number of my own students, co-eds, had encountered some of this. So, but I think people understand if a strong person comes in and says, we're going to assess it, and we're going to deal with it, and make some changes, I think people would be more than happy to try to move on. But they want to move on with some acknowledgement, you know?
Yes. Well, today, go ahead, James.
Yeah, I just don't think it should it handled properly and with some vision. I don't think it should cripple a university.
13 weeks ago today, Joe Biden took the oath. He's the 46th president, despite claims to his predecessor otherwise. Biden to pledge having greenhouse gases by 2030. Today is Earth Day. Your thoughts about this endeavor by him and its impact on Louisiana?
I don't know. I sit in front of a classroom and scream at children about this. I don't know there's no place in the country that's more affected by climate than Louisiana is. There was a tropical activity off the coast of Brazil in April. Right? I don't know what else we need to know. The entire history of Louisiana, 99% of Louisiana history is three things: race, water, and oil. It's 1% something else. I just hadn't figured out what it is. All right?
Race, water, and oil.
Else that we deal with. And so, you know, I got news for everybody. We're getting more water than we can handle. And we had, two major hurricanes hit southwest Louisiana? And we have a climate denier as the final eight? Geez, it's just the stupidity of this is stunning.
David in Atlanta. David, you're on. Please be brief with James Carville.
Thank you. Great admirer of yours, Mr. Carville. You know, the Republicans have a lot of chutzpah accusing the Democrats of wishing to sack the Supreme Court when there's a letter to the editor in yesterday's edition of the Washington Post saying that this voting bill in Georgia gives the right to the Republican legislature to overturn, disallow without reason or cause millions of votes. Now, if this spreads to other states, we're no longer a democracy. I can't imagine the court system would uphold this. What is going on? What can we do?
But thank you for your question. I'm obviously a big believer in voting rights, but you know, maybe the first thing we can do is get LSU righted, and we can do we can have some point. But Mitch McConnell changed the size of the court. He just unilaterally decided it was going to have eight members and not nine. But that's a that's a different issue. But I appreciate you calling.
All right. As far as Emmert, earlier I know you told Stephanie Regal about a year ago that this would put out good fumes for LSU. You stand by that?
For Mark?
Yes.
Yes, I do. I do. I think he was a superb leader when he was here. I think he understands our culture. And I think he knows higher ed as well as anybody in the country. And, yeah, I do.
Well, James Carville,
a good choice.
Thank you, and keep up your work. Glad you're teaching at the Manship School, and we always enjoy your visits here.
I enjoy you and come by my – I'm not teaching. I'm kind of retired, but appreciate it when you came by my class. You did a great job for the state.
Great honor. Thank you, James Carville. This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. Mark Ballard is with us for his weekly visit. We always enjoy his insights, and he has front page story in the newspaper of record in our state, University of Louisiana System President. On list, Jay Darden among eight candidates for top LSU job and six others, and James Carville was going over the list, and it's apparent that Mr. Carville in our previous segments, Mark, is not enthused about the others. He doesn't think that there's a real star in the bunch. He's saying LSU should go out and see if he can get Mark Emmert. Before we get to Emmert, what about the eight who are on the list? Your thoughts?
He is like the stars among that list. I mean, I guess the closest would come Jim Henderson, I would argue, because he runs a larger college system.
All right, Mark, you are fading on us, and I want to see if we can get you to a better spot. Might be good to call him back, Matt, and see if we can get a better phone line, because I'm having trouble hearing him, and I know if I am, our listeners are, and we don't want that to happen. But the eight on the list are Lawrence Alexander, professor of chancellor at the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff, Army Major General Ronald Clark, Chief of Staff, U.S. Indo-Pacific Command, Camp H.M. Smith, Hawaii, Kevin Drogmeier, the former director of the White House Office of Science and Technology Policy, the man that Carville referred to as a client denier, Rustin Moore, professor and dean of the College of Veterinary Medicine at Ohio State University, LSU is an agriculture school, Marianne Rankin, professor and former senior vice president and provost at the University of Maryland at College Park, retired Lieutenant General Jeffrey Talley, president and CEO of the P3I Group, and Jim Henderson, and Jay Darden. Those are the eight candidates. And, Mark, we were surveying the field when we were having some challenges hearing you. I think we've got you to a better place now. Is this an
Hopefully
A-list?
So.
Is this? Yeah, that's much better. Is this an A-list?
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, I agree with James Carville on that it's not necessarily your best, the list that they were hoping for. And a large part of that has to do with the problems at LSU of chasing away some of the better candidates that would be running this. But on the other hand, you do have fairly good candidates within those eight.
Well, right now it would appear the two favorites, if the list stays as is, are Darden and Jim Henderson. And both are capable people. They are from different perspectives. In the old days, they would be considered ideal candidates because they are engulfed in Louisiana lore. Now, in many ways, that is something that is used as a weapon against them. Does LSU need some eyes from the outside? What do you think about that sentiment?
Well, yeah, and I think that that's probably reasonable, given that we're talking about a flagship university and not one of the better flagships in the country. And so you would want to bring in somebody who could, up the game, I forgot the name, but the guy that they brought from Columbia to take over Arizona State University. And he, increased the research, increased the diversity, and worked on all of these things, and actually made Arizona State a better university. And I think that that's something that LSU was hoping for, but didn't get those kind of candidates, didn't get that level of candidates. Now, having said that, I mean, I mentioned Dr. Henderson. and I'd either sell out. I mean, he has run a university system in Louisiana, you know, and Jay Darden has shown, you know, a lot of political acumen in dealing with not much money and doing what we can with not much money. And then some of the others, well, I'll have to take a closer look at it, but they also have something that at least attracted the attention of a majority of the supervisor or of the search committee. So.
And they have come forward. They put their names out there. And a listener asks, and once again, our number for Mark is 877-217-5757, but a listener asks about Emmert, and I've talked about this with James Carville. Emmert's not the kind of guy who wants his name to be on any kind of public list right now. How can they court him and at the same time navigate the process in which at some point his name would have to become public?
Well, I'm told that we have the eight that have applied, and if he is going to apply, he's going to need to do so before Monday when they start doing the interviews. Because one thing that the chairman of that search committee was very clear on, Ed James Williams from New Orleans, was very clear on, is that we're going to do the interviews on Monday and Tuesday, and then we're going to make a selection on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Or, well, finalists for the Board of Supervisors to actually select.
They're going to
turn over those names on Friday. So I'm not altogether sure that Emmert is going to be a candidate in all of this.
It would have to happen fast.
It would have to happen fast.
And James Williams is on the board.
Yes, he was chairman of the board a couple of years ago.
And nothing wrong with an active board member, but some have said he was a bit too active when he apparently told King Alexander he had to get rid of Joe Oliva and hire Scott Woodward. He is an active board member to the nth degree, it looks like.
Well, and I would argue, yes, I mean, he did get criticism for that, but I would argue that we need active board members. Part of the problem that we've had, particularly with this Title IX and with a lot of other issues, is that the board members tend to only, you know, want to go to the football games and to parade around as board members, but they don't want to do the hard work. And James Williams is one that will do the hard work and step forward into these breaches. And so, I mean, I think the board needs to be more like that than it has been.
Well, Williams, I think, is a Darden guy. That's what I hear. And the board had the opportunity to embrace Darden a while back when Jay Darden expressed an interest. And then the response was lukewarm. And remember, Jay pulled his name out. And now Galligan's out and Darden's in. Does that mean anything?
Well, and Williams says no. Williams says that it's not been decided yet, and it'll be decided by a majority vote of the presidential. I mean, he went out of his way to say, you know, that this has not been what was the wording that he used? That this has not been figured out on the back of a napkin in the dark of night.
Well, you know, like the other one allegedly was, yeah. But in 1986, when LSU had this cattle call of coaching candidates for the football program to succeed Bill Arnsparger, the athletic council recommended three names to the Board of Supervisors. They also eliminated Steve Spurrier, who was not, he didn't even make the final three, nor did Sam Rutigliano. But the three, as I recall, were Mike Archer, George Hafner, and Mike Shanahan, who at that time was an unknown assistant, but Archer was the guy they wanted, and they made sure he was up against two candidates he could beat. When the board convenes and the president's name is submitted, or the prospective president and chancellor, will there be one name, or will there be a few that the committee offers?
Well, I'm told that Williams says that there'll be, you know, a couple of names that are going to be offered by the Board of Supervisors for them to choose. And, you know, I guess we'll see what we can see.
Well, that would be fascinating if it comes down to Jim Henderson and Jay Darden. And both of them have prominent jobs as well. And Jay is Commissioner of Administration. And, of course, some lawmakers who already don't like him will use this against him. And then Jim Henderson, he manages one of the largest systems in the United States, 92,000 students in the University of Louisiana system. If he doesn't get the job, it would perhaps be a hindrance to President Henderson as he moves forward in his job he currently has. So you got to give him credit for coming forward and saying, I'm in, but it's a risky proposition, potentially.
It is. It is. It's a really, and it's risky for Jay Darden as well.
It is. I mean,
so, and I'm sure some of these others, it's a risky proposition, and the other six that have applied for it, only one woman, by the way, did you notice?
I noticed that, and it's disappointing. It really is.
So, and I don't believe that there's any people of color. I haven't finished looking through all of that yet, but at any rate, I mean, it's a risky proposition to put your name out there to begin with, and I think particularly for Jay Darden and for Jim Henderson.
877-217-5757 and talk at Talk Louisiana for Mark Ballard, Capital Bureau Chief for The Advocate. And Lawrence Alexander of the University of Arkansas Pine Bluff is an African American, so I think he is the only one of the eight to be a black person. There is a Major General, Ronald Clark, and LSU once went that route with Troy Middleton, who's now been disgraced. There is the guy that Carville calls a climate denier. Is it Drogmeyer? Is that how he pronounces his name?
That seemed to be a problem at yesterday's meeting, trying to get his name correctly.
I think he's got some other problems,
too. Drogmeyer is kind of what I'm going with until told differently.
Rustin Moore. Now, LSU is an agriculture school with no farming members on the board now that Ronnie Anderson has been sent to the wayside. But Rustin Moore from Ohio State, the pre-dean of the college.
Who had taught at LSU for years.
Now, he might very well be a strong candidate. Marianne Rankin, professor, former senior vice president, provost at the University of Maryland, College Park. I have a feeling that they're going to go with three. I think it's going to optically look very bad if the two candidates are Darden and Jim Henderson. And I would suspect that they might put Marianne Rankin in, and she's qualified as far as her background, but she also is a woman, and with all the controversy that has been richly earned by LSU, where are the women for this job?
Well, exactly, and I think that there's that she would be. I don't know. I mean, we look at the Louisiana people, but she would be kind of a leader, I would think, as a dark horse.
All right, we'll be back for another segment with Mark Ballard after this. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Mark Ballard, Capital Bureau Editor for The Advocate, and we'll get his take on the session. But we're talking about the LSU merry-go-round, as now eight finalists have been chosen to be interviewed by this search committee. Mark has the front-page story today. One of those, and the only woman, Provost Marianne Rankin, University of Maryland. And we have an erudite listening audience. A listener has already sent me this story. I'm looking for the year 2018. It reads like this, Mark. University of Maryland academic leaders on Thursday slammed the Board of Regents for its handling of the investigation into the university's football program and joined a rising list of voices calling for University President Wallace Lowe to reconsider his plan to retire. In a letter released to the campus community Thursday morning, signed by Provost Marianne Rankin and deans of every college and dean on campus, officials expressed dismay and deep concern for the events and process that led to what they termed Lowe's forced retirement. So here's a person who was involved in something that is analogous to what's going on at LSU right now. In this case, I'm not sure experience is a virtue. It will be something she will be questioned about, I'm sure.
Oh, I think they're all going to be questioning a question about the Title IX issues, which become much clearer in Louisiana in the last 2 months or so. So that is going to be a main question, and it's a rightful question, you know. So, but I would give her a kind of a dark horse star, if you will, because she's a woman and she's the provost, with the academic leader of a flagship university, and one that's larger than LSU.
And ranks higher, for what it's worth, on these national.
And ranks higher.
Yeah. 877-217-5757. Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, you're on with Mark.
Yeah, good morning, Mark. Yes, my question is this. In the current session of the Louisiana State Legislature, are there bills being brought forward to suppress voting and protest? Thanks.
Well, yes, there's going to be a couple of those bills put forward. Actually, today they're hearing some of them. And, yes, there are bills that do that, and whether or not they become as restrictive as the Georgia bills, it remains to be seen, because it's right at the very beginning of the process.
The governor on his show yesterday indicated he's going to make a major economic announcement in the town of Columbia, the hometown of former Governor John Julian McKithen. And this is an enormous infusion of activity in a city, a town that has fewer than 1,000 people, Mark.
Yes, and I'm not quite sure what it is. Did you get a sense
of it?
Yeah,
it's involving
something
similar to what's going on with the Port of Baton Rouge, trying to make diesel out of safer products. And the governor has certainly embraced environmental reform, and for a southern governor, deep south governor, that in itself is notable.
It's been a plan that that's gone back several years, and it looks like they finally kind of have gotten it together. But I mean, the use of corn and the use of biofuels apparently out of the farms up there is something that they think that will increase the value of their agriculture, and will, you know, help with the biofuels industry in the state.
Henry at the Country Club of Louisiana. You're on with Mark Ballard. Henry, hi.
Good morning, Mr. Jim. Good morning, Mr. Mark. Hope y'all enjoying this beautiful day. First of all, I'm for Dr. Mark, but if it would help him get the position, I'll be against him, whichever way I need to be.
You're talking Mark
Emmert, right? Got a question for you, for both of you gentlemen. Who speaks for the state of Louisiana? And by asking that, apparently the Attorney General takes it on his own to file these lawsuits and take part in them using our name, the state of Louisiana. But I thought the governor was the head guy. So who is it, the governor or the Attorney General?
Well, that's an interesting debate, but the Attorney General has the constitutional right and authority to protect and defend the laws of the state of Louisiana, which is kind of what he's doing. But the governor is the voice. I mean, he's the one that's elected by the people based on his political philosophies and administrative abilities. So, but what the General Landry is doing is, it can be, you know, roughly brought back to that constitutional authority.
Well, last 2 days in the editorial pages of The Advocate, two editorials in a row relating to Jeff Landry, and actually it's Saturday and today. The Saturday one, want to blow the whistle on misconduct, Landry may turn you, it says, may turn you on instead. Maybe, I think that means to turn you in instead. And Jeff Landry's version of The Office shows how not to run an organization. He is making news, and not in the ways that people running for governor generally want to, but will it matter, Mark?
Well, he has a base, and the base is looks at what he does and the opposition that he engenders as a reason to support him stronger. So the question will be, is that base, which seems fairly large right now, going to stick with him? And I would guess yes on that. But on the other hand, you have like Billy Nungesser and more moderate, or at least more practical type of Republicans that are saying, you know, that's fine, but you got to remember that roughly 40% of the state is also Democrats, and they're not going to vote for Jeff Landry. And that's the big political argument going on in the Republican Party right now.
Well, and I misstated the headline on Saturday the 17th. It says, want to blow the whistle on misconduct, Landry may turn on you instead. he's accused of attacking the whistleblower. Is this valid?
I mean, there's certainly, yes. I mean, that's certainly an argument that is out there. I mean, he says that no, that's not true, that it was actually you know, the newspaper and others that turned on the whistleblower by making him known. You know, though I question that. I mean, what he's arguing is legally, I mean, based in law somehow, but you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that we agree with it.
All right, Patrick in Innisfail Estates. Patrick, you're on with Mark.
Hey, I'm listening to y'all's conversation, and y'all say that, you know, someone qualifies because they're a woman, or someone qualifies because they're a certain skin color. You know, I think back to some of the greatest leaders like Margaret Thatcher. They didn't think she was a great prime minister because she was a woman. She was a great prime minister, period. Same thing with Bobby Jindal. He's a great governor, not because of his skin color, because he was a good governor.
Well, I would first off disagree with Thatcher and Jindal, and with the comment that we were saying, oh, because she's a woman or because he's African American, he would be great. I was saying that for the woman who was the provost, the academic lead of a much stronger flagship university than the one than LSU, and then that makes her a leading contender, and being a woman doesn't hurt in this age.
No, and LSU has never had a person of color or a woman as its leader, and maybe time. And on paper, she has the credentials. The question is whether the board will go that direction. And
I don't think Bobby Jindal was a good governor.
No, he was and is a person of color, but on the other hand, he put no minorities, black people, in charge of state agencies, which is amazing in a state with 1/3 of its population African American, and there was only one black board member and only one woman, and Ann DuPlessis, the same person, and everybody mm-hmm. else was a white male, and Jindal probably got cover for that, Mark, because he was a minority himself.
Well, yes. I mean, I don't know what his thinking was, but Ann DuPlessis is also a leader in the kind of privatization movement in education as well. So, I mean, she was a likely choice for the political philosophy that Governor Jindal espoused, and that is more charter, more mm-hmm. privatization.
I remember Jim Baker, the former chief of staff for the first President Bush, when he was asked why George Bush didn't put certain minorities in high places or more of them. He did, of course, appoint Clarence Thomas to the Supreme Court, nominated him. But Jim Baker's response was they weren't with us in the election, F them. And quite often, as we know, and the governor of Louisiana, John Bel Edwards, is no exception. If you're a supporter of the governor, you got a better shot of advancing in state government or being appointed to one of these high boards.
And that's gone back to Roman and Greek times. That is, the winning team gets to choose who plays.
But there was a governor of Alabama not so long ago who held all the top positions in Alabama. I think he was lieutenant governor, attorney general. He might have even been secretary of state, Governor Siegelman. He went to prison for putting a supporter on a board. And it shows that sometimes it can be a treacherous process, sometimes.
Well, yeah, sometimes. You obviously don't want to be putting crooks on the board, but, you know, it's happened. You
know? Unfortunately, it may happen again, just may. Mark, always a delight to catch up with you. Hope all is well in your world, and we'll get your take if things go according to plan next week, and we'll be closer to the finish line at LSU and to the conclusion of the legislative session. Always a treat. Thank you, Mark Power.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. First Financial Tax and Accounting Services provides signature support. Until tomorrow, for Matt Doyle, I'm Jim Inkster. Stay safe and stay tuned.